Good evening. Josh headed over to the Badlands Family Camp. Excellent camp from what I heard. And so he asked me to step in and cover for tonight. And I was glad to help him out. Glad he got to go over to that camp. Like I said, here's great things about that camp. So tonight, let's open up to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just going to read verses 32 through 34. Hebrews 11:32 through 34. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Almighty Father God, great God, we are so thankful to be here, Father. I'm so thankful for the Word of God, which we get to read in, we get to look, study, we get to put to our heart and to our mind, Father God, so that we can be made new through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His life, now interceding for us in heaven above, Lord. So I thank you for the saints, for them, everybody's here tonight. I pray the message is good. It's edifying for the need of the moment, Father God. That builds them up and gives them the tools to be righteous examples in a world that is very, very sinful. We see the effects of sin all around us, Lord. So just help us to be those lights shining bright for Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. So tonight, I want to take a look at the life of Samson. You know, as you look at the judges, I believe he's probably one of the better known judges, even figures of the Old Testament. There is a ton of children's books, various movies, all sorts of stuff about Samson. He's kind of maybe because they always kind of give a picture of this Fabio looking guy, all muscles and hair. But whatever reason, he gets a lot of press time in the world around us. And he also has some obvious shortcomings, which we'll see as we read about him tonight. From a timeline perspective, Samson was really the last of the judges of the Old Testament. He lived from around 1118 B.C. to 1078 B.C. During that time, he spent 20 years being a judge of Israel, and as I said, the last judge. That's something that really can be lost with Samson, I think, is because what we read in Scripture is really just a smidgen of his time frame. He judged for 20 years. That's a long time, you know. There's a lot of his judging days that we aren't really privy to, isn't recorded for us. What's recorded are maybe some of the highlights and low points and things that we can learn from. So to start with, let's jump to Judges chapter 13. And like I said, this is going to be kind of an overview, not an in-depth study of Samson, but just some things I kind of gleaned from reading it. So Judges 13. And we just read verses 1 through 5. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and said to her, "Behold, you are barren, you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor to eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." So Samson was born during a time where Israel was being oppressed by the Philistines and had been oppressed for 40 years. The Israelites at this point, they'd have a track record of being faithful to God. Bad things happen, run back to God, things get easy, bad things happen, you know, and so forth. This cycle just kind of went round and round again. And you see that's not too uncommon with mankind. When do they cry out for the Lord? Is during the hard times. Then during the soft times, they get soft themselves. So anyhow, Israel had done this again. And the oppression they were under was really due to their own unfaithfulness to God. The judges, they were the ones who brought the nation of Israel back on track. So wrath, out of the beginning, we get to see that Samson is going to be something special. They declare that he is going to be a Nazarite from the womb. The word Nazarite here means consecrated or separated. Jump back to Numbers chapter 6 and read verses just 1 through 5 there. And we'll get a picture of really what a Nazarite vow meant. Numbers 6, 1 through 5. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of Nazarite, to dedicate himself to the Lord, he shall abstain from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar, whether made from wine or strong drink, neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh or dried grapes. All the days of his separation he shall not eat anything that is produced by the grapevine, from the seed even to the skin. All the days of his vow to separation, no razor shall pass over his head. He shall be holy until the days are fulfilled which he separated himself to the Lord. Then he shall let the locks of his hair on his head grow." What's interesting to note here, it says, when a man or a woman makes a special vow of a Nazarite. So when someone chooses to be a Nazarite, they would follow these. Now what's different about Samson is he was basically a Nazarite from birth. So boom, right out of the womb, day one, he is a Nazarite. He never really had a choice in the matter of him being dedicated as a Nazarite. He is declared one literally from the moment he is conceived. Here's an interesting thing, jumping back to Judges 13, is if you go through the whole time where the angel talks to them about Samson, they talk a lot about his hair and that he's a Nazarite, that he's delivered. One thing they never ever talk about is his great strength. The angel never makes mention of that once, which is kind of interesting, something to kind of really set our minds on. You know, I'll touch on it a little bit later, but the world, when we picture Samson, he's just like this Herculean dude, just like huge and all of this. But God really never focused on that, his physical traits. He was a deliverer, don't get me wrong, but exactly how he did that, we'll kind of see as we look through this. So let's read verses 24 and 25 of Judges 13. "The woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. And the child grew up, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanethan between Zorah and Eshtol." So we see the God's Spirit of Samson as he grows. We don't see any direct evidence, but do you think Samson's parents ever told him about who he was? About how he kind of how he kind of came to be? I mean, it seems like his mother and father tried for a while to conceive and bear a child, and they couldn't. And then all of a sudden, I mean, you know, what happened to them is going to leave a mark. You know, so we don't have any direct evidence whether he knew about his conception or how he came into this world, but I bet there's a pretty good chance. You know, a takeaway from that is identity can do a lot. Okay? If you know who you are, know where you came from, know your purpose, your value in this world, it can be really powerful. On a side note, we attended West graduation, and just hearing some of the valedictorian and speeches, it's clear we have a generation of kids coming out, and I don't think they know their purpose at all. Because there is no purpose unless you have a purpose for the Lord. Your other purpose is self. So purpose is powerful. And I believe Samson knew his purpose. He probably, "Why can't I get a haircut, Dad?" "Because you're a Nazarite." jump to chapter 14. Let's read verses 1 through 4. "Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, 'I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and his mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all your people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' But Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she looks good to me.' However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel." Right off the bat, we do see that Samson does have a weak point. It's for the ladies. you know, gals kind of attract his eye, and, you know, he's easily lured away by them. Here we see there was a chink in his spiritual armor. For all the purity in what Samson ate and drank, what he kept himself from, the physical world still had a pull on him. The women that he, or woman that he saw with the Philistines was attractive to him. Let's read verses 5 and 6 and kind of see how this starts to play out. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. We see again, where is Samson's strength from? I mean, that is really a key through his story. Where did Samson's strength come from? It came from the Lord. He tears this lion, literally. I mean, I have this picture, just dislocating his jaw. Okay, but where did that great strength came from? It was the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord came upon mightily. Okay, it doesn't say by his physical muscles. It says God's Spirit worked within him. I think Samuel knew this. Especially as we see early on in Samuel's life, Samuel knew that his power came from the Lord. God's Spirit was a source of his strength. Following God's word by not cutting his hair would give him great strength to deal with whatever came his way. It wasn't his physical strength. It was God working from him. Kind of like he hinted at, I started thinking. I was like, well, I see this perfect picture of Samson, and he's this, huge dude. What if Samson was a little weakling? High-pitched voice. it kind of ruins your picture of him. But God could just as easily do it from this little geeky dude as from this big macho dude. Okay, God's not limited by the physical stuff. And when we see what Samson actually accomplishes, I don't care how big his muscles were, it was God working through him. God was the source of his strength. We do see, though, that the ladies did have an eye for Samson, so he probably wasn't too hard on the eyes. But it does make you think a little bit. Samson, down here with these Philistines, he makes a bet with the men of his fiancée's village. He tells them a riddle. And he says he wins if they can't figure out his riddle. They win if they do figure out his riddle. The riddle is too hard for them, and so they end up threatening Samson's fiance. And again, he has a weak point for the ladies and ends up telling the riddle and the answer to it. Jump down to Judges 14, verse 15. It came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband that he may tell us the riddle, or we'll burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so?" because of this, because of the fear for her life and her father's life and everything, she pesters Samson. She pesters him to the point of actually letting him know, or actually giving up the secret of his great strength. None of the people in this situation is what you would consider righteous. Okay, the woman, the people, her parents, the villagers that she reared. But let's read verses 19 and 20. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, Samson, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. Now is that the righteous story, is that something you teach in Sunday school? And it is, but it is kind of a rough, the Old Testament. I appreciate the Old Testament. It's full of real people put in real situations dealing with real problems. And Samson, he killed 30 guys basically out of anger and vengeance. But the Lord didn't. The Lord used his anger and his jealousy, he used Samson's anger to accomplish his purpose. And he starts this basically war, one man war, Samson against the Philistines. It's going to culminate in Israel being delivered. God's purpose and what God wanted was to see Israel delivered, and He can use flawed people to get that done. Okay, Samson, I'm not going to tell you Samson was perfect by any means. I think you guys know that, and we'll see that as we go through this. But God can use flawed people. God will, what I guess I'm driving at is God will always get His purpose done. Mankind will not stop it. Whoever our next president is will not stop it. God will get it done. He will use flawed people. He used Pharaoh of Egypt. You pick it apart. God will get His purpose done. Through righteous people, God will get His purpose done, even when people are making mistakes or unrighteous. Let's just jump over to Judges 15, and let's read verses 9 through 16. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" And they said, "We've come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." They said to him, "We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me." So they said to him, "No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands. Yet surely we will not kill you." Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were in his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men." Samson had become the Philistines' number one enemy. And so they are now seeking him out, seeking to how they might destroy Samson through their own means. They hadn't had any luck at all capturing Samson. So basically, you know, what any bully does, if they can't take out the big guy, they go take it out on the weaker guys. So the Philistines have been taking it out on the nation of Israel, and here we see the men of Judah coming up to Samson. And here they capture Samson in an effort to basically satisfy the Philistines' anger. Capture is kind of a loose term here. We see what Samson is able to do. Do you really think Samson got captured, or do you think Samson allowed himself to be captured? You know, I think Samson allowed himself to be captured. I don't think he wanted to, go into battle or wage war against his brothers, you know, from the nation of Israel. But I do think that if he wanted to, he could have taken out those 3,000 men of Judah pretty easily. One thing I see, I think I hinted at, and you see a lot in the beginning of Samson's life. He lets the Lord's will be done. Okay? He didn't fight this. He said, "Okay, just promise you won't kill me." He's probably thinking, "Well, I don't think you could kill me." But he said, "Let the Lord's will be done and see what happens." Okay? You know, and that's hard to do. That's a very hard thing to do. Let the Lord's will be done when we don't see the outcome. That really is the definition of faith. You know, if you knew how a situation is going to end and you put yourself in it, that's not a lot of faith. But faith is really putting yourself in a situation and say, "Hey, let the Lord's will be done." The Lord had proven to Samson that He was with him every step of the way, and he knew Samson had confidence that the Lord would not let him down now, especially if he was doing this for his Israelite brothers. So we see Samson's faith work here, and I believe he let himself be captured, and he goes along with the Israelites. When the Philistines try to take him captive, he executes the Lord's will and kills 1,000 of them with the jawbone of a donkey. It's pretty impressive. We watched something on Netflix's show, and it tried to depict that, what that was like, him just having a jawbone, just whacking people left and right. I don't think they were even close. That would just be a bloodbath. It's pretty crazy when you actually think about 1,000 men. He killed them with basically just the bone of a jawbone of a donkey. But what we can take away from that is Samson, he took what was a bad situation. He was taken captive. He was going to be delivered over to the Philistines. He put his trust and faith in the Lord. And what happened? Deliverance of Israel. And again, that's what it's going to take to get the Lord's will be done. It's going to take faith. And I think Samuel is a great example of faith in the earlier part of his life. He lets the Lord's will be done, and the nation of Israel is delivered. It was due to his faith. Samson trusted in who he was and what God would do through him and God's promises to him. Let's jump to verse 20 in chapter 15. We're just going to read that last verse. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So Samson was a judge of Israel, and for 20 years he judged Israel. 20 years is a long time. I mean, it is a long time. When you look back on 20 years, it doesn't seem that long. But when you got 20 years to go for something to happen, it's quite a while. And that's really what the challenge of faith is. You know, you get immersed into Christ, and it's like, yeah, yeah. Well, after a while, it's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, life wears on you. You know, it definitely, you know, if we knew it was going to be this hard before we got into it, you know, some people might have taken a pause. I mean, you do it because of faith. But 20 years of being faithful, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever it is of being faithful, it is really a long time. And Samson was a judge of Israel for 20 years. Like I said, a long time. And over those years, I believe, you know, from what we see in the pattern of Samson's life, it wears on him a little bit. Because the next time we pick Samson up, it's going to be towards the end of his life. Jump, let's read verses 4 and 5 of Judges 16. And it came about that Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and see where his great strength lies, how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Samson loved Delilah. I don't know what she did to catch his eye, but he really did, and unfortunately, it was going to lead to his stumbling and a great downfall. Like I said earlier, we can see throughout Samson's life that women, the flesh, had been a weakness for him. We can see where that had caused him to trip before. On a side note, if you have a weakness, if you have something in the flesh that is causing you to stumble, I encourage you to take it out, to deal with it. Samson, I mean, clearly knew he had a problem, but he never dealt with it. And Satan is patient. He will easily wait 20 years to exploit that weakness in the flesh. And if it takes 30 years, he will wait. One thing Satan is patient, and he will find that niche in your armor, and he will exploit it. And it doesn't matter if you've been faithful for 30 years. If you're 31, that gets exploited and you fall away, you don't get the reward. So God gives us tools to overcome those lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. Okay. But we need to do that. Samson didn't, and it's going to lead to his downfall. Let's read verses 6 and 7. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with fresh cords that have not been dried, then I shall become weak like any other man." Delilah pesters Samson as to what the source of his great strength is. And we see here for a while, he comes with all sorts of goofy ways they can bind him. And the funny thing is, he's probably laughing. Let's see if they'll actually do this. Bind my hair into a womb, you know. And they try it. And it doesn't work. He gives these false answers to how they can bind him. And each time, the Philistines try to take him captive, and he easily fends them off. Finally, here we see that Samson gives in and he tells Delilah what the true strength of his strength lies. Did you ever wonder what made Samson really reveal it? I mean, I've heard, well, he's just a dumb oaf, to all sorts of different ideas. I've wondered. It's like, duh, she's obviously trying to get your strength. She's obviously trying to get you trapped by the Philistines. So here's my guess. It's 100% a guess. My guess is that when he originally started out, clearly his faith was in the Lord for his strength. But I think after 20 years, he started to believe it was him. I think he started to believe it was his own great strength. And maybe he's like, yeah, 20 years ago, but after, look, I've been whacking. I took out 1,000 guys, man. I can take out whoever. That confidence started, it built pride in him. And that boastful pride of life will take anybody out. I think pride took Samson out. Samson actually didn't believe or didn't truly give his credit to the Lord of where his strength lied. Like I say, time and the mind are funny things. Time really works against faith. In the rearview mirror, time will skew events. Events where we can clearly see God worked in our life, we can easily also start to explain it away. Well, maybe. We see people who fall away. Various people falling away over the last couple of years. People that when they got immersed, I saw that, man, they were on fire, and then they're gone. And I think, they start to think, well, I wasn't that excited. Well, something happens in their brain, and they lose their faith. And I believe time, a lot of times, chews that up. So we look at these events here, and each time Samson tells Delilah a different source of his strength. And they try to bind him, and he gets away. So why would he actually tell her if he didn't, if he really believed that's where his strength lies? I don't think it did. He did. Let's read verse 20 and we'll see how this thing kind of plays out. Delilah cut his hair and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he woke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times to shake myself free." But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. How long do you think his hair was? You think it hit the floor? I think so. So when you wake up after having hair down to the floor or even more, you would know right away your hair is cut. But he tries to go out as before. He tries to go on and take on the Philistines. It's again, like I say, I can't 100% prove it, but I think he still had his strength. He was so used to it. He took for granted what God had given him. Okay? Something we should never do. Thankfully, Samson's story doesn't end here. Let's read verse 22. "However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. The Philistines had taken Samson, they gouged out his eyes, and they put him into hard labor." So in verse 22, after he's kind of definitely hit the low point of his life, his hair starts to grow again. What else started to grow? I believe Samson's faith started to grow. We all want strong faith, but if you want strong faith, you're going to have to go through some trials. Okay, if life's always easy, where's your faith? Okay, our faith gets built when we have to go through those trials. Samson's greatest faith is going to get built now. He took for granted what he had, that strength, and he lost it. Okay, but now his faith is going to be built back. Let's read verses 25 and 26. "It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may amuse us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, 'Let me fill the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them.'" Samson has a plan, and we can see how it plays out in verses 28 through 31. "Samson called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. O God, that may at once be avenged of the Philistines and my two eyes.' Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bent with all his might, so the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead and killed in his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtel in the tomb of Manoah, his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. Samson grabbed those pillars and tore down the building and killed 3,000 plus Philistines, lords, or basically the leaders of the Philistines, in one shot. When Samson did this, he said he went too. He said, take him out, kill these people, let me avenge my eyes, or let me avenge my nation, knowing he himself was going to die as well. This basically wiped out the ruling elite of the Philistines, so I don't think they were much of a threat for a while. Okay, you cut off the head of something and it dies. So I think this really was a big hit to the Philistines' army. One thing, kind of what we alluded to earlier, whatever else you want to say about Samson, did he have a weak point in the flesh? Yeah. And was it exposed? Definitely. Okay, did he make some really bad choices? Oh, yeah. But Samson finished strong. I mean, physically strong, faithfully strong. And that's why we see him in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a very, very interesting chapter of the book of the Bible. Because you know what? God doesn't record all of those guys' faults. Some of those people had some major faults. Samson being one, Jephthah was another one. You know, just in that span there. What does God see? How they finished strong. How they were victors for the Lord. And Samson was a victor for the Lord. And he's recorded in the heroes of faith. So whatever else we want to say about Samson, he was definitely a man of faith. We can see that he had such faith as, like I said, to get mentioned in Hebrews 11. Did Samson make mistakes? Definitely. There's no way I'm going to tell you, go out and be like Samson. He made some mistakes. He made some big doozies, okay? Have we made big mistakes? Sure. No, I have. I botched it a few times. But what does God see? God's not up there. He's not this Father in heaven who's looking for you to make his mistake and stomp you out. Okay? He sees you good. Hebrews 11 is definitely proof of that. Like I say, this life is very long. If you have a weakness in your spiritual armor, Satan will find it. He did with Samson. That is why God, for a Christian, he kills that old self. Okay, so those temptations, those desires, they're gone. That's what happens when we get immersed into Christ. But that old man can still be thrashing around and trying to breathe. It's talked about quite a bit in the New Testament. Let's jump to Romans 13. Read verses 11 through 14. Do this, knowing that it is already the hour for you to waken from sleep. For now salvation is greater to us than when we believe. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly in the day, not carousing, and drunkenness, and sexual promiscuity, sensuality, and strife, and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. We are told to make no provisions. That makes no way for this to happen. Okay? Don't think about it. Don't go near it. Don't let your brain run around on it. Make no provisions. If you don't have, something doesn't have provisions, it's not going to live. Okay? That's what we are to do. And if we do that, we will be victorious for the Lord. Don't give the flesh an inch, because I tell you, it'll take a lot more than a mile. But if you made mistakes, take heart. God used Samson in an amazing way, even after some of his dumb mistakes. Okay? He can do the same with us. Okay? If we make a mistake, the best thing you can do is get up. You fall down, you get up. The difference between the victor and the one who's defeated is the victor gets up. One more time. That's what it takes. Two things about trials. I encourage you, don't avoid them. Okay? Trial comes. Two things that we take away from it. The first is, don't quit. Okay? A lot of people quit when they are so close to the finish line. So when those trials come, don't quit. And quitting is a habit. You quit once, you might quit again. You might quit again. Then you become a habit. It becomes a habit of taking the easy way out. So the first thing with trials is don't quit. And then the second thing is, what can you learn and grow from a trial? Whatever you're facing today, what can you learn and grow from it? Okay? Have the faith that God will get you through it. God got Samson through it. Okay? And he finished strong. He'll be in heaven. Okay? You get to ask him about that. Why did you do that? But yeah. Learn and grow from those situations that you are put in. Those trials. You know, you'll find that some of the biggest blessings in life come from trials. Why? Because they build your faith and they make you stronger. Samson did this. And we see that he gets listed in the Heroes of Faith chapter in the Scriptures. So I encourage you to do this as well. And hopefully all of us will end up in the final Heroes of Faith in heaven. Thanks.